Now, CNN broke the news yesterday that the United States had helped a high-level Russian official flee from Russia in 2017. The unnamed source had been providing the United States with intelligence. According to the CNN report, the official was removed from Russia over fears that the Trump administration's handling of classified information could endanger the informant. Other reports, though, say the official was pulled out after publicity over Russian interference in U.S. elections. Our next guest joins us to talk about the news and how intelligence gathering plays a role in U.S.-Russian relations. Ted Gerber is a professor of sociology and director of the Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia at the UW-Madison. Ted, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, before we get to this Russia story, some news broke since we gave you a call. John Bolton, a national security advisor, is now out. He says he quit. The president says he was fired. Your reaction to this news and the impact it could have on U.S. National security policy?
Well, it's not altogether surprising to me. Bolton has been well known for his particularly hawkish views and his support for concepts such as regime change and for the use of U.S. military force. And that has seemed to run counter to a lot of what Trump has actually done, despite some of his bombast and bold statements that Trump seems to, particularly recently, you know, for example, with his policy with these negotiations with the Taliban, he seems more keen on pulling back U.S. forces from involvements and avoiding foreign entanglements as part of his campaign promises. So Bolton's general perspective was at odds with Trump's from the beginning, and it's not altogether surprising that that kind of came to a head recently.
Now, moving to this apparent spy news, multiple reports now that the U.S. had helped this Russian official leave the country, leave Russia in 2017, who had been providing the country with information. What do you make of this story? I know the Russian government's calling it a pulp fiction, basically. What do you make of this story?
Well, I think the story is credible. I certainly would dismiss the Russian government's denials. Nobody, you know, the least of all Putin wants to ever admit that they've been spied upon. If the story, even in its broad outlines, is true, which I tend to believe, the U.S. successfully planted a spy at the highest levels. He was privy to some very private deliberations among Putin and other Russian elites. I do think the initial claims in the CNN story, that according to which it was asserted that part of the reason the decision was made to exfiltrate or extract the individual from Russia was concerns about Trump's, shall we say, carelessness with respect to handling intelligence. I do think that's questionable, and I think the subsequent New York Times article strikes a bit of a better balance. To me, the most striking thing about this story of all is, to me, it sort of should put an end to any doubts that might be out there about Putin's direct involvement in the U.S. election influence campaign, as well as Putin's preference in that campaign to lead to a Trump victory. I think, at the time, what I think was quite telling is when this initial discussion happened and the U.S. intelligence agencies made their determination, it was widely reported that that particular claim, namely that Putin himself was involved in the decision to try to influence the U.S. elections, and secondly, that the goal of that campaign was not to just cause chaos, but was specifically to lead to Trump's election, or that was the goal. I'm not here claiming that was a causal factor, but that is what the Russians wanted to happen. That those claims were based on human intelligence from a very highly planted source. And, now we see this extraction. It certainly looks awfully to be the case that indeed this individual was had direct observation and direct knowledge of those plans, and certainly many other things. So I think, if anything, the main takeaway from this in terms of our understanding U.S.-Russia relations should be that if there's anybody out there who still doubts, I mean, perhaps the president still doubts this, he's stated as such, but maybe some of his supporters do, maybe some skeptics of the mainstream media do, but those doubts should be laid to rest. That Russia did try to influence the outcome of the 2016 elections, and they did so in order to favor Trump.
And as reported in that New York Times piece, I think it was, the news about that Russian effort breaking out might have been part of the motivation for helping this source leave Russia, right?
Absolutely. So I think the way these things work is that, you know, when that news report comes out that somebody, you know, in the upper echelons had given information to U.S. Government sources, well, then, of course, on the Russian side, the Russians are very keen on capturing arresting and disposing of any, you know, intelligence leaks or any intelligence risks, and as we are. As any government is. And so they start to ask, well, who would be privy to such information? And so that would allow them, or that would lead to a situation where the news, so to speak, would be tightening around the informant, around the source. And so, you know, it stands to reason that when that came out in the news, and then, you know, media organizations perhaps start to ask more, well, who is this person? What is the basis for that? That would certainly turn up the heat on the individual in question, who apparently had been given the option to exfiltrate previously, back in 2016, under the Obama administration. But he initially declined. But then perhaps, you know, the argument goes that, well, both sides gave a second thought to this, given that it was released that that particular claim was based on human intelligence.
Getting back to that human intelligence idea, President Trump has publicly said and reportedly privately said a lot. He doesn't like the idea of trying to turn sources in other countries. He's publicly said he wouldn't have tried to recruit members of Kim Jong-un's family, for example, to spy on North Korea. What do you make of the president saying he doesn't like this, in part apparently because it could interfere with his personal relationship building efforts with the world leaders?
Well, I mean, that reflects a very idiosyncratic and some, including myself, might see very naive view of how politics, how geopolitics works, that every country, you know, with a respectable government that seeks to play a foreign policy role perceives that it has adversaries in the foreign policy realm, and it has intelligence operatives whose job is to gather information that lead to advantages in the pursuit of policies. And it's extremely naive to suggest that we should, the U.S. government or any government should turn away from that particular option in order to maintain smooth relationships between leaders. It reflects a view of foreign policy and foreign policy conflicts that is extremely simplistic, as if, you know, just by patting each other on the back and striking friendly relations with a foreign leader, the United States will be able to obtain its foreign policy objectives. I think, you know, Trump came to Washington saying that he was going to do things differently, and this is certainly a case where he does seem to intend to do things differently. In my view, and in the view of many, it's a huge mistake.
Talking to Ted Gerber, director of the Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia at UW-Madison, professor of sociology there, looking at the U.S., Russia, and international intelligence efforts. Ted, pulling the camera back a little bit, Russia was kicked out of the G8, now the G7, for the occupation of the Crimea. President Trump wants them back in, even though they're still there. We've also seen, I think, some prisoner exchanges between Russia and Ukraine. Where are we with our current relations between the U.S. and Russia?
Well, we're really, I think we continue to be an impasse. I think if Trump had his way, he probably would lift the sanctions and reincorporate Russia in the G8 and take steps to try to, to acknowledge Russia's annexation of Crimea and would back off. You know, I understand that, for example, the U.S. government has promised some weapons to the Ukrainian forces who are fighting against Russian-backed insurgents in the Donbas region of eastern Ukraine, and that the Trump administration is slow-walking that process, so they're conducting all kinds of reviews in order to delay. But the U.S. government has a foreign policymaking capacity that doesn't reside entirely in the figure of the president. And there's a State Department, there's Congress, there are other factions, there's many different bureaus within the executive branch that wield influence on foreign policy. And So the U.S. government itself has been divided in terms of the optimal policy to pursue with respect to Russia, and I think that continues to be the case. That the Russians, from my perspective, seem to have made their bet on Trump, and they've been quite patient. So far he hasn't delivered them anything tangible in terms of something they could really hang their hat on to say, well, putting him into office has helped us gain this. But he is quite clear that he's inclined to go that route, and he's being held back by the kind of anti-Russian sentiment, particularly within the U.S. Congress, but also in the foreign policy-making establishment. And so, there may be slight movements in this direction, that direction, but really I would describe the situation as we're locked into the status quo, where there's sort of quiet U.S. Action to oppose Russia's foreign aggression in Ukraine, and the Russians fight back by making things annoying for the U.S. in terms of its negotiations with North Korea. Russia has made overtures to China and is trying to establish that alliance as a sort of a counterweight to U.S. global power. Where the U.S. government is divided between the Trump and his supporters, who seek a rapprochement with Russia and seek to make concessions to Russia in the name of striking some sort of nebulous deal, although it's never been clear to me what it is the U.S. is going to get out of that deal, versus the foreign policy establishment and the Congress, who are very suspicious of Russia and continue to see Russia as a dangerous adversary, which must be thwarted.
Now, we saw, I think it was George W. Bush, who said he had looked into Putin's soul and saw what he liked there. Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, brought the reset button over. Now, President Trump. Is there something about American leadership that keeps getting something wrong about what can be built on a personal relationship with Putin?
Yes, I think there's been a tendency for American leaders, going back to Bush, to exaggerate the role of Putin. Russia is a very large, complex, modern country. It's a rich and diverse society, and Russians don't all agree on everything. Even within the Russian elite, there are divisions, there are factions. A lot of what drives Russian politics is somewhat opaque, so it's natural for outsiders and for government officials to invest a lot in the figure of a single individual. But I think a more successful longer-term policy would try to engage Russian society and Russian elites on various levels, economic, social, to try to build more contacts. Now, Putin is a very strong personality. He's a very strong figure. He can't be ignored by any means. But I think a more balanced policy approach would involve a multi-pronged effort to deal with Russia, to try to diminish the barriers that divide our two countries on multiple levels, and not to be so fixated on Putin as our leaders have tended to be.
Ted, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
That's Ted Gerber, professor of sociology and the director of the Center for Russia, East Europe, and Central Asia at UW-Madison. He joins today to talk about U.S.-Russian relations in light of the news that broke this week that the U.S. had extracted a Russian spy who had been passing info to the U.S. back in 2017.